Welcome, everybody, to this week's Science Metaverse podcast. I'm Keita Funakawa.
And I'm Stephen Klosky.
Today, we got some exciting things to talk about when it comes to kind of the AI world and how that has to do with the metaverse, as well as some kind of new hardware news coming out of Sony and some small software updates coming out of Meta. So first things first, I'm sure that you've probably heard other people talk about this, but ChatGPT has been kind of the headlines this week for many different reasons. I have a TechCrunch link here that kind of talks about it. For those of you who aren't familiar with GPT-3, GPT-3 was kind of a major leap in terms of innovation within kind of AI and very kind of a natural way to interact with AI systems. I think DALL-E was probably the most famous GPT-3 example. And now with GPT-3.5, there's this chatbot called or chat website, I guess, called ChatGPT, which launched as a free research preview for anybody to try this week. It's been really interesting. It's contextual, so you can like ask follow up questions and stuff. And it's extremely kind of like good at summarizing and simplifying, and it's also even good at coming up with like code and like movie scenes and scripts and all kinds of stuff. Steve, did you get to try some prompts with ChatGPT?
No, I haven't gotten to prompt it myself, but yeah, I've been following everybody else's prompts and yours included. So I think it's cool that you could have this more sophisticated chatbot type of system going on right now, because the early 2000s chatbots were just so like basic, a lot of pre-programmed responses. But yeah, this one seems to really pool a lot of information when it sources the answers. So very fun, it looks like, to give it different prompts.
Yeah, I actually gave it a prompt about if there were to be a science metaverse, because one of the things about this data model is that it is only up to the year 2021. So it does not answer anything in terms of, recent history in 2022. We started the podcast technically in early 2022. So, I would think that it probably doesn't know about the Science Metaverse nor the Science Metaverse podcast, even though it theoretically existed before 2022. Anyways, so I asked kind of a hypothetical question. If a science universe were to exist, what would it look like or be like? And this was the answer from ChatGPT. The idea of a metaverse for science is an interesting one, but it's difficult to say what it would be like without knowing more about the specific goals and objectives of such a project. In general, a metaverse for science could be a virtual world where scientists and researchers from various disciplines could come together to collaborate, share ideas, and conduct experiments. This virtual world could include realistic simulations of physical phenomena, as well as virtual tools and instruments that scientists could use to explore and analyze data. It could also include virtual meeting spaces where scientists could hold discussions and presentations, as well as virtual labs where they could conduct experiments and simulations. Ultimately, the design and functionality of a metaverse for science would depend on the specific needs and goals of the scientific community. So, what a great response. What did you think of that particular response, Steve?
I think a lot of these responses would sort of like be the, I don't know, one of the top answers on a Reddit comment section. Like, it's kind of the vibe I get from how these comments are generated. I think science metaverse is going to be awesome, but what is the exact purpose? Science could be so broad. Like, we talked about it in the context of molecular science. Or at least starting there, because everything is made of atoms and molecules. The AI kind of recognizes that there could be this virtual world where scientists could get together and share information and data about experiments and other types of things. So, and it kind of gets it, I think that ChatGPT seems to be knowledgeable about what could emerge as a science metaverse. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I also asked it, you know, kind of a specific question because we were curious, which was like, what was the makeup or how many drugs that were approved through the 2010s were structure-based or structure-enabled or rationally designed? And unfortunately, couldn't answer that because it said that it didn't have access to those databases and knowledge base. So, you know, it is the potential that we could potentially feed that data and then get that sort of answer would be really good. I guess it kind of is a little bit disappointing that, you know, in theory, that information should be public, given the amount of scientific journals that are out there and things like that. But I guess it's not necessarily trained on that data.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it wasn't included in the training set, then the ChatGPT AI bot thing is not going to be able to pull information or data streams real time or anything.
Yeah. Another really interesting thing that I've heard in, I think, the All In podcast was they're talking about essentially asking a prompt to ChatGPT to create a, I don't know, description or a sentence about a photo or a drawing, and then porting that directly into DALL-E to then create a visual image. So essentially just the seed, you know, the initial kind of initiation was obviously human driven, the prompt was human driven, but both the description and the visual you know, output was all AI, which I think like chain linking a lot of these like different AI systems, I think, is like super interesting and has a lot of potential.
Stacks on stacks, and you got your AI stack. Oh, hey, you know, I want some cool looking forest scenery. You know, think about some ideas, and then it's like, oh, how about we have little elves and all this other, you know, stuff, and then that feeds into the other one. Yeah, I saw a few people doing that. It's smart, and I think that people are kind of assembling these sophisticated stacks in very unsophisticated ways of just being like, hey, yeah, here's a prompt here and enter that into this one over here. But eventually these things will, you know, be even more connected. So I'm excited for this whole, you know, AI emerging world, or at least a consumer accessible sort of like AI emerging world that's happening right now.
Definitely. You know, I think on that note, like one of the most interesting things is like these customized stacks of AI, right? Like, also kind of what's not interest, like, I guess, explicitly talked about yet, but I'm assuming like everybody's kind of thinking about this, is like combining this with voice recognition and voice automation, right? Like, I want to talk to ChatGPT through, some of you might have these Amazon devices, which I can't name because there's one in my room, but Google Assistant's another one, you know, the like Siri's another one, right? Where you can essentially talk to them and give you these answers. This really kind of goes into like that one movie, like Her, which is one of my favorite movies. And so, yeah, and really exciting things that are coming about, just like the progression of DALL-E to ChatGPT within such a short amount of time was really fast, I think, in hindsight. Steve, if you have to give a prediction on what sort of thing you'll see in the realm of DALL-E or ChatGPT in 2023, what do you think we're going to see next year?
Yeah, I mean, could, you know, sort of advance another level. So I could see, you know, GPT, you know, for, you know, whatever sort of next generation things coming along like that. So I think that that's going to probably help everything a bit. But I think what's going to be more common is all these little, you know, pay a few bucks for running your AI profile photo, or, you know, do this to, you know, have your own unique like AI thing. So I think there's going to be a lot of like minor applications, you know, like chat and, you know, image generation are pretty cool. I think people do like 3D asset type of stuff. Yeah, I want to see more of that personally, where you say, you know, make me a tree, and then it actually makes a 3D model of a tree instead of a, you know, like a watercolor painting of a tree. But yeah, you know, it's limitless. It's like people could do it, and someone writes a program that's like one specialized thing that normally a person would do, and then this algorithm could do it for everyone, and you you know, distribute it and get it out to everyone, like, yeah, you could have a lot of impact. So, you know, what exactly it's going to be, it could really be any, you know, specific application here.
But so you think, like Dolly, 3D Dolly, for Metaverse, I guess, is like, that's why they accessible. Because I think Facebook demoed a couple of things like this, but like Meta, but they haven't really like have it, you know, be available for people to try, like OpenAI has done with their tools, right?
Yeah, I think you know, on the website, it's kind of easier to share like 2D and text content. So maybe that's why those are the first type of things. But you know, as more people start to interact in three dimensions, yeah, you know, maybe they'll be more common to you know, focus on AI based applications that make 3D models. Of course, you know, there's everything happening in the chemistry world too. I think that's going to keep getting better. You know, AI powered protein engineering, AI powered, you know, drug development. So a lot of people are using these tools right now, even in conjunction with, you know, virtual reality and mixed reality.
Yep. Yep. So definitely check out ChatGPT. I believe it is free for everybody. I know we got access to Dolly early, so I'm not sure if everybody can make a free account on OpenAI's website and interact with ChatGPT, but definitely check that out. The next story is that Sony has released a new full body tracking system known as Mocopi, and is really interesting. So it, the kind of device comes in, I believe it's six different parts, two for each hands, two for each, or I should say wrists, two for each ankle, one in the hip and one in the head. And it enables a full body tracking experience without any wires or base station. And so they haven't really released too much details on this front, but my guess is that this is actually just gyroscopes at each different parts of the body. And they've kind of, my guess again is that they've like trained like a, you know, a data set on like if, you know, the hip moves or the hip accelerates or decelerates this much, and then the ankles accelerate or decelerate this much, then that means that, you know, the inverse cinematics is probably that way or something like that. That's my guess. But it's a really, really interesting move. It's going to be coming up for about, I believe, just under $400 US dollars in January of next year. No word on whether it connects directly with a PC or presumably the PS5, things like that, because also, you know, the PSVR 2 is also coming out early next year as well. So kind of a fairly decent big move from Sony, and again, into the Metaverse direction here. So interesting to see. What did you think about this move from Sony, Steve?
These, you know, they look cool, and I'd have to try it to really evaluate like how well it works. You know, you might be right in that it could just be like a three DOF sort of you know, sensor, or, yeah, maybe a bit more sophisticated than just a gyro, but some sort of a you know, gyro type of cheap electronic device that has been, you know, then trained to be a lot more accurate, you know, based on some, you know, predictive analytics software. But we'll see, you know. Also, having it on your legs probably isn't as accurate as like finger and hand tracking, like, because, you know, when you want to do something in VR, you're generally using your hands, and so I feel like the bar of quality for foot tracking is just much less precise than you could be a few millimeters off, and no one's going to care too much, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. You know, we'll see. Like, yeah, this plus yeah, PSVR2 like could definitely have some like fun exercise type games. I know a lot of people are doing different exercises. I still do some in VR, but yeah, it's not just Beat Saber. You know, they have Supernatural and other apps that allow you to exercise your arms mostly. But if you have feet sensors, then maybe you could do some kicks or some other moves in there too.
Yeah, you know what is interesting is like the delineation, right, between, like, they didn't mention anything about six stuff. They just purely said, you know, body tracking, right? So like you could have, you know, if you have essentially a good like approximation of where your hands are in relation to your wrist and feet, like you get full body tracking, but you don't necessarily know how your body moved through space and time, if you will, like within the local space, right? Like that's still not data, I believe, is that they're capturing. So I'm assuming they're going to have to, you know, like rely on some, you know, HMD side out tracking or something like that, coupled with this that then allows like for full six soft tracking of your body. Like six soft body of your tracking is different from full body tracking, I guess, you know. And so that's an interesting delineation that they're starting to make.
Definitely. And yeah, as you integrate more sophisticated things like, you know, the new Pro controllers, the Quest Pro, you know, has cameras like on it. And so, you know, I'm curious to see how this ends up, you know, progressing with different integration with just, you know, these really cool new devices as well.
Yeah. And if especially if it's like about $400, like I wouldn't be surprised if there is some like IR lights on these like, you know, pebble looking things, in addition to like 3DoF. Things, because then that essentially would enable a headset to track more, even more precisely, right? Like your body movements. Like it's hard for me to believe that like only like 3DoF, you know, accelerometer would, and I guess six of them would cost like $400. But I don't know. I'm not a hardware engineer, so I could be wrong here. But yeah, exciting things nonetheless. The last story is a little bit of a small update for Meta Avatar, but this has actually been long requested from Nanome users, and I think will be an important step for the Science Metaverse as well, is that Meta is introducing Meta Avatar stores, which means now you can have custom clothes. And so they've actually partnered with Balenciaga, Prada, Tom Brown, and a bunch of other brands for this. Now, it doesn't seem like, you know, you have to like buy from these brands per se. You know, like I've always wanted my avatar but with like a different color shirt, and so that's something that I'm hoping that I could do. But this is a, you know, a step in the right direction. You know, we've had users always talk about, you know, having a lab coat, right? Like within kind of the science metaverse, you know, clearly kind of delineating between teachers and students and things like that, right? So definitely outfits are an important part of this. Yeah, good to see a step in the right direction. Steve, are you going to be changing your outfit anytime soon?
Yeah, if I see something I like. I mean, I chose one of these like generic-y, I don't know, like blue long sleeve type of shirts, but I'd like something other than that. This is kind of close to what I wear on a daily basis, but it's a little bit different. So I tried to just
Yeah, dude, you don't have buttons on a shirt in real life.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, kind of like zippers IRL compared to buttons on the collar. But yeah, you know, it's more customizable. I think people are going to have more fun in the metaverse, you know, as soon as they get, you know, really customize their avatar to be how they want it. So yeah, definitely, you know, good step in the right direction. I'm curious how this is going to be opened up for other people, like publishing and creating it. Yeah, I want like Nanome swag, obviously, you know, accessible for our users. Like, wear like a Nanome shirt.
Yeah.
Know, hat or something.
Totally. You know, I haven't checked it out myself just yet. Just saw the headline, grabbed it, and figured we could talk about it. But that's pretty much about it for this week. It is the holiday season, so not too much news here in the U.S. But as always, we'll continue to talk about the latest and greatest about the science metaverse, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you in the science metaverse.